Today is the 10th day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today as we gather around the global campfire and find a place. There's all kinds of room. It's cozy here. And we leave behind for a little bit the cares of this life, all the things that are slumping our shoulders, all the things that are making us walk slow. We leave those things, the anxieties, the depression, all that stuff. We can go get it. Like if we're worried it's going to go away and we really need this stuff, we can always go pick it back up. But we come in here in a safe place and allow God's word to speak into our lives. And maybe our perspective is changed. And maybe we don't need to carry some of that stuff anymore. Or maybe it looks different. But for now, this is where we are. We're present here around the global campfire, taking the next step forward. And that next step will certainly lead us to the last step, that where we left off. And that brings us back into the book of 1 Samuel. And Samuel's leadership is leading us to Israel's first king. Today, 1 Samuel 8 and 9. In his old age, Samuel appointed his sons as judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn son was Joel, and the name of his second son was Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not follow his ways. Instead, they made money dishonestly, accepted bribes, and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and approached Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "Look, you are old, and your sons do not follow your ways. So now appoint over us a king to lead us, just like all the other nations have." But this request displeased Samuel, for they said, "Give us a king to lead us." So Samuel prayed to the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, "Do everything the people request of you, for it is not you that they have rejected, but it is me that they have rejected as their king. Just as they have done from the day that I brought them up from Egypt until this very day, they have rejected me and have served other gods. This is what they are also doing to you. So now do as they say. But you must warn them and make them aware of the policies of the king who will rule over them." So Samuel spoke all the Lord's words to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "Here are the policies of the king who rule over you. He will conscript your sons and put them in his chariot forces and in his cavalry. They will run in front of his chariot. He will appoint for himself leaders of thousands and leaders of fifties, as well as those who plow his ground, reap his harvest, and make his weapons of war and his chariot equipment. He will take your daughters to be ointment makers, cooks, and bakers. He will take your best fields, vineyards, and olive groves and give them to his own servants. He will demand a tenth of your seed and of the produce of your vineyards and give it to his administrators and his servants. He will take your male and female servants, as well as your best cattle and your donkeys, and assign them for his own use. He will demand a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will be his servants. In that day you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord won't answer you in that day." But the people refused to heed Samuel's warning. Instead, they said, "No, there will be a king over us. We will be like all the other nations. Our king will judge us and lead us and fight our battles." So Samuel listened to everything the people said and then reported it to the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, "Do as they say, and install a king over them." Then Samuel said to the men of Israel, "Each of you go back to his own city." There was a Benjaminite man named Kish, son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphia of Benjamin. Kish was a prominent person. He had a son named Saul, a handsome young man. There was no one among the Israelites more handsome than he was. He stood head and shoulders above all the people. The donkeys of Saul's father, Kish, wandered off. So Kish said to his son Saul, "Take one of the servants with you and go look for the donkeys." So Saul crossed through the hill country of Ephraim, passing through the land of Shalishah, but they did not find them. So they crossed through the land of Sha'alim, but they were not there. Then he crossed through the land of Benjamin, and still they did not find them. When they came to the land of Zuf, Saul said to his servant who was with him, "Come on, let's head back before my father quits worrying about the donkeys and becomes anxious about us." But the servant said to him, "Look, there is a man of God in this town. He is highly respected. Everything that he says really happens. Now let's go there. Perhaps he will tell us where we should go from here." So Saul said to his servant, "All right, we can go. But what can we bring the man since the food in our bags is used up? We have no gift to take to the man of God. What do we have?" The servant went on to answer Saul, "Look, I happen to have in my hand a quarter shekel of silver. I will give it to the man of God and he will tell us where we should go." Now it used to be in Israel that whenever someone went to inquire of God, he would say, "Come on, let's go to the seer." For today's prophet used to be called a seer. So Saul said to his servant, "That's a good idea. Come on, let's go." So they went to the town where the man of God was. As they were going up the ascent to the town, they met some girls coming out to draw water. They said to them, "Is this where the seer is?" They replied, "Yes, straight ahead. But hurry now, for he came to the town today, and the people are making a sacrifice at the high place. When you enter the town, you can find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. The people won't eat until he arrives, for he must bless the sacrifice. Once that happens, those who have been invited will eat. Now go on up, for this is the time when you can find him." So they went up to the town. As they were heading for the middle of the town, Samuel was coming in their direction to go up to the high place. Now the days before Saul arrived, the Lord had told Samuel, "At this time tomorrow, I will send to you a man from the land of Benjamin. You must consecrate him as a leader over my people Israel. He will save my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have looked with favor on my people. Their cry has reached me." When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said, "Here is the man that I told you about. He will rule over my people." As Saul approached Samuel in the middle of the gates, he said, "Please tell me where the seer's house is." Samuel replied to Saul, "I am the seer. Go up in front of me to the high place. Today you will eat with me, and in the morning I will send you away. I will tell you everything that you are thinking. Don't be concerned about the donkeys that you lost 3 days ago, for they have been found. Whom does all Israel desire? Is it not you and all your father's family?" Saul replied, "Am I not a Benjaminite from the smallest of Israel's tribes? And is not my family clan the smallest of all the clans in the tribe of Benjamin? Why do you speak to me in this way?" Then Samuel brought Saul and his servant into the room and gave them a place at the head of those who had been invited. There were about 30 people present. Samuel said to the cook, "Give me the portion of meat that I gave to you, the one I asked you to keep with you." So the cook picked up the leg and brought it and set it in front of Saul. Samuel said, "What was kept is now set before you. Eat, for it has been kept for you for this meeting time. From the time I said, 'I have invited the people.'" So Saul ate with Samuel that day. When they came down from the high place to the town, Samuel spoke with Saul on the roof. They got up at dawn, and Samuel called to Saul on the roof, "Get up so I can send you on your way." So Saul got up, and the two of them, he and Samuel, went outside. While they were going down to the edge of town, Samuel said to Saul, "Tell the servant to go on ahead of us." So he did. Samuel then said, "You remain here a while so I can inform you of God's message." John 6, 22 through 42. The next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the lake realized that only one small boat had been there, and that Jesus had not boarded it with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came to shore near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the solemn truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate all the loaves of bread you wanted. Do not work for the food that disappears, but for the food that remains to eternal life, the food which the Son of Man will give to you. For God the Father has put his seal of approval on him." So then they said to him, "What must we do to accomplish the deeds God requires?" Jesus replied, "This is the deed God requires: to believe in the one whom he sent." So they said to him, "Then what miraculous sign will you perform so that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus told them, "I tell you the solemn truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but my Father is giving you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread all the time." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will never go hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty. But I told you that you have seen me and still do not believe. Everyone whom the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will never send away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. Now this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose one person of everyone he has given me, but raise them all up at the last day. For this is the will of my Father, for everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him to have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Then the Jews who were hostile to Jesus began complaining about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Psalm 106, 32 through 48. They made him angry by the waters of Meribah, and Moses suffered because of them, for they aroused his temper and he spoke rashly. They did not destroy the nations as the Lord had commanded them to do. They mixed in with the nations and learned their ways. They worshipped their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and daughters to demons. They shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. The land was polluted by bloodshed. They were defiled by their deeds and unfaithful in their actions. So the Lord was angry with his people and despised the people who belonged to him. He handed them over to the nations, and those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them. They were subject to their authority. Many times he delivered them, but they had a rebellious attitude and degraded themselves by their sin. Yet he took notice of their distress when he heard their cry for help. He remembered his covenant with them and relented because of his great loyal love. He caused all their conquerors to have pity on them. Deliver us, O Lord our God. Gather us from among the nations. Then we will give thanks to your holy name and boast about your praiseworthy deeds. The Lord God of Israel deserves praise in the future and forevermore. Let all the people say, "We agree. Praise the Lord." Proverbs 14, 34 and 35. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. The king shows favor to a wise servant, but his wrath falls on the one who acts shamefully. Okay, so there's a couple of things we need to talk about today. Let's first go into 1 Samuel. I mean, we had a lot of detail about Samuel's early life and his childhood. And then as he becomes an adult, like years go by in a sentence, but he is the final judge. And now we have drawn near to the end of Samuel's life. And as I said, Samuel's the final judge of Israel. We're transitioning out of the times of the judges and into the time of the monarchy. But Samuel's plan was to just keep the judges going, and he put his two sons in charge as co-judges, but as the leaders of Israel came to Samuel, they told Samuel, they don't act or walk in the ways that you walk. Like, basically, we're not taking them we don't want them appointed as judges. We want a king. And that displeased Samuel. It was a rejection of God. God spoke to Samuel and said, "They're not rejecting you, it's me. They're rejecting me as their king. But do as they say, give them a king." And so we met this man named Saul today. And we know very little about him other than he was on a donkey chase when he came in contact with the seer, Samuel, who has an important message to give him from God. But this is the setup, and Saul will become this first king. And Saul, now as we move into this era of the monarchy, Israel's first king Saul, we'll watch his story. But his story is a mirror into our own lives on so many levels. There's a number of things for us to observe and learn from in the life of King Saul in the days ahead. Now let's flip over into John. Jesus is asked a question today, and it's a question that, whether we speak it aloud or just think of it, it's a question that is probably relatively familiar to us. The question is, what must we do to accomplish the deeds God requires? And since Jesus answers the question, it's like so easy to go, "Oh, great, let me grab a pen. Like, I want to write this list down so that I'm making sure that I'm jumping through these hoops." But Jesus answers interestingly, and we must believe that Jesus answers truthfully. And so the answer to the question is this: and I quote Jesus, "This is the deed God requires, to believe in the one whom he sent." Like, that's it. That's what he said. They interrupted him. Like, that's what he said. And so they countered, then basically, then show us some magic so that we might believe. What can you do? What can you show us to prove it? Now, the backdrop for this is that Jesus had just fed thousands of people miraculously and then went back to Capernaum. And the crowds have come from Capernaum and are asking him this question. And they're saying, show us what you can do, because our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. What can you do? And Jesus is like, are you kidding me? Like, what did I just do yesterday besides give you bread to eat? But you guys are here after the wrong bread. I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will never go hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty. But I told you that you have seen me and you still don't believe. And we can read this story in the Gospel of John and look at the people and go, guys, how could you miss this? How could you miss it? It's right in front of your faces. How can you be so thick? Until we realize that part of this story is to let us look into our own reflection and realize that we have the same tendencies to do the same thing. I do believe, I will believe, show me the magic, show me the signs, I need the signs. And we want to follow after those things instead of simply believing, understanding that what we want is to see and then believe, but that's not faith. Believing and it opening your eyes so that you can see, that is faith. But we also have to think about how we could love someone we don't believe in. How do you have a relationship with someone you don't believe in? Which leads us to ask ourselves the question that we should be asking. Do we believe, or are we setting our lives up in such a way that we are inviting God to continually prove himself? Are we believing because we think that we can exchange our belief in trade for some sort of benefit or some sort of sign? Basically, do we find ourselves in the position of the people who are questioning Jesus? These people aren't being antagonistic. They're just saying, show us what you can do and then we'll believe. How often do we find ourselves in that position? It's food for thought today. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you into that. Do we love you and follow you for what we think you're going to provide for us? Or do we love you because even while we were your enemies, you came to rescue us, displaying that you loved us first, and our love is a response? Come, Holy Spirit, and lead us into all truth, and lead us into the truth about our honest motivations here. And as we turn away from directions that are going nowhere, lead us on the narrow path that leads to life. Lead us deeper into Jesus, we ask. In his name, amen. DailyAudioBible.com, that is home base. That is where you can find out what is going on around here. The Daily Audio Bible app is also available, and that puts everything in nice, compact little app right in the palm of your hand. So download that from the app store that, well, whichever one is associated with your phone or tablet. Search for Daily Audio Bible, and you can get it from there. Check out the different sections, like the community section, and get plugged in there, and that's where the prayer wall lives. Check out the Daily Audio Bible Shop. There are resources there in a number of categories for the journey that we are on. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if you find that being here and having this place be here every day, a place that we can go and center ourselves in God's Word and move through it together as a family, as the family of God in community, if that is life-giving, then thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, DAB community. This is Mark, the baby doctor from Dayton, Ohio. My wife and I have been listeners to the DAB since 2012, and it has been a really long time since I've called in. I'm recently retired, and I was just listening to the DAB, and I heard Lisa from the East Coast, also known as Philippians 4:6, call in about her cancer at the age of 36 with a really difficult prognosis. And also God's Chosen on that same episode also called in and prayed for her. I was deeply moved, Lisa, by what you said in your cancer. And as a physician and believer since 1978, I have come to strongly believe that healing still does occur today, and I was compelled in my heart to call and pray for your healing. I wanted to give you Lamentations 3:21-24. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning, great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I have hope in him. And Psalms 27:13-14, yet I totally trust you to rescue me one more time so that I can see once again how good you are while I'm still alive. Lisa, I command this cancer to be gone from your body, that you would receive healing in Jesus' name. Love you.
Hi, I'm going to call myself Jenny the Quilter. I've been listening to the DAB for about 3 years now, and I put on my headphones and work away at a long arm machine every day. And I've been so grateful for Brian Harden and everything he does. And I wish that my first call was just me calling to say how thankful I am for this program. But like many people, I have something that I really desperately want you to pray for. A lady called in today wanting us to pray for her son, Sean, who had a mass behind his eye. And my daughter right now is fighting what they are calling an ocular melanoma behind her eye. We're trying to get in appointments and dealing with the medical system. And I just want your prayers for everything to work out for the best. Like I said, I love this program. I love all of you. I pray for you every day.
Hello, my DAB family. As I continue to pray for our incarcerated brothers and sisters, such as Tiffany Bird, Robert Navarro, Samson Elvis, Clarence Daniels, Bruce DeVise, Ricky White, Eugene Thomas, and my son, Joel Polk. Just also keep me and my family in prayer. As we were praying for charges to be dropped, lessened, reduced, or my son to be exonerated, he received a stiff penalty. Unless there's some type of redemption through retrial appeals, he may spend decades incarcerated. But I do know that God has it in control. And I thank you, DAB, Brian, Jill, and the staff for all your support for this ministry. God's got it all in control. I love you, family. Although I feel and the family feels as if we're in suspended animation, we know that God's got it. Love you. God bless and have a great day.
This is Maximum Health Warrior. It's Wednesday, May 3rd. If you could please keep me in your prayers. I've suffered from severe anxiety and depression all my life, and I know I cast my cares to the Lord for anxieties to the Lord for cares to me. I know that brothers and sisters are suffering the same way, and I know that Jesus says that he will restore me, but some days I doubt that. I feel like I'm two people. On some days, I praise the heavens. I feel that I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm on the path that God wants me to be. And on other days, I'm paralyzed with fear. I overthink everything, every little thing. Like, would God want me to do this? Would God want me to do that? And if I don't do this, what will happen? And then I feel guilty for that. And it just compounds it. I know God doesn't want me to feel this way, but sometimes I can't help it. I keep you in your prayers. And also, I want to say to Blind Tony, thank you so much. Your poems, when I'm feeling down, I can listen to your poems and I feel edified and restored. You don't know how many people you're touching with them. Keep them up. Thank you. God bless.
Hello, my DAB family. This is Unwavering from North Carolina, calling in to respond to Lisa. Philippians 4:6. It was so good to hear your voice, and I want you to know that I have continued to keep you on the altar. I thank God for just your encouraging words despite all that you were going through, and I am in agreement with you on your clarity and your courage. As a fellow dabber called in, I just want to lift you up. Father God, we thank you for Lisa. We thank you that she continues, Lord, to give you all praise, all honor for who you are in her life. And right now, I just bind the assignment of cancer to her. Lord, I thank you that she will continue to have a healthy immune system and that it is perfectly aligned with your will. Father God, I just decree and declare right now that Lisa will prosper, that she will continue, Father God, to have full days ahead. We thank you for her 36th birthday. And Father God, we just believe that, Lord, there is nothing too hard for you. You hung the twinkling stars. You set the radiant moon. You tell the ocean where to stop and start. There is nothing too hard for you. So I just believe you, God, for Lisa's complete and total healing and restoration in your son's mighty and matchless powerful name. We pray. Amen. Love you, DAB family. And Lisa, stay encouraged. We believe God.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible. This is Candace from Oregon asking you to pray with me for my son, Micah. The very first time I ever called the DAB was March 22 of 2014. I had just begun listening on January 1st of 2014. At that time, it looked like God had delivered my son from alcohol. But here we are in 2023. And yes, he has been sober now for 2 months. But it's because he put himself into a treatment program and has not been out in the world, real world yet. This is the second time in a year he was also at the same treatment program last June. Please pray with me. Lord, thank you that I am with your people and we are holding hands together in prayer for Micah, knowing that you can do anything, and we've seen you work in his life time and again. I know, Lord, that the day he passes away, he'll go straight into your arms and that he believes in you. But meanwhile, you have a hope and a future for him on this earth as well. I pray that when he is released here in just a few days, that you give him strength like he's never had before, that he has the courage to attend the meetings at AA and hold on to his dreams. I pray that he turns to you, relies on you, and has friends who encourage him to do this. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake.